Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Good News in the Morning is sponsored by Good News Christian Ministries and has been broadcast weekly since 1999. Do visit our website, gncm.ca. Here, you will find podcasts of the programs and introductions to the Ottawa pastors who deliver the good news to growing numbers of listeners worldwide. They appreciate and need your regular prayers. Our heartfelt thanks to all those who support us financially. And now, here is today's presentation.
Good morning. I'm your host today, Brian Wilkie of St. Andrew's Christian Church in Rockland. As we begin today, my prayer is that the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ would encourage and strengthen you today. And today I want to give thanks to our supporters, especially those who have been responding to our Christmas mail-out and appeal. We're really thankful for the support here at the year-end. And if you haven't had a chance to donate to support our ministry, we hope you'll do so in the next week or so. As we look towards Christmas, we're only 2 days out as this broadcast airs, and I do want to focus on the theme of Christmas, which is of course Jesus, but as put in the Old Testament language of Hebrew, Jesus is referred to as Emmanuel, God with us. And having God with us is in fact the point of God's creation and the point of his salvation. And so I'm going to read a traditional passage from the book of Matthew that tells about the birth of Jesus Christ, in which the prophecy concerning him that was given hundreds of years before his birth, the prophecy concerning him is told and explained for us. So this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. This scripture, I hope, is familiar to you. If you haven't heard it before, then God bless you. May he bring home the good news that God has come to be with us through Jesus, in Jesus, and because of him we can have God's presence in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, now and forevermore. And so we're going to look at what this means for us and what it can mean for you as we explore the scriptures and the Christmas message together. But we'll do that in a few moments. First, I want to share with you a piece of music by Carolyn Ahrens, a Canadian singer and songwriter. From her album, The Irrational Season, she gives us This Is Christmas.
Share stupid conversation with some strangers. And all his friends just can't believe how he spends his Christmas Eve. He says it brings him closer to the manger.
Well, this is Christmas.
A hand upon the shoulder. Lisa knew that's where she had to go. Now she's hugging on those kids, showing them what Christmas is. And though her family misses her, they know.
The message of the gospel is that God sent his only Son to save us from our sins. God so loved the world that he did not want us to perish, but to have everlasting life. And through sending his Son Jesus, we have the opportunity to have eternal life. We have eternal life through knowing God, because the point of God's creation was to bring us into his presence forever. That he walked with Adam and Eve in the garden, and that picture of perfect harmony is what God intended for you and for me at all times. But sin, our sin, has interfered with that relationship with God, and we pushed God away. We wanted to do things our own way, and through our lives, that's what we've done. God is not willing to allow sin in his presence. Sin is everything which destroys his creation, destroys human relationships, that which hurts and harms one another. Through sin, we fall out of harmony with the world around us. We fall out of harmony with our neighbors. And we even do damage to ourselves through our sin. And God will not have that. He intends to eliminate sin from the world so that we might have life in its fullness and everlasting. But in order to do that, he needs to do a work in each of our hearts. He needs to reveal to us his love and his grace so that we can receive him, and having received him, have his Holy Spirit repair us and redeem us as we repent of all the things that we have turned away from. In theory, God is with us. And many times in the Christian walk, we talk about a relationship with Jesus. We talk about, we sing about that relationship in hymns, like In the Garden, where the singer sings, he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own. That's exactly what Jesus did when he came to earth. He literally walked and talked with his disciples. He came and called to outcasts, people who were outside of the community because of disease or sin. And he welcomed them back as they turned from their sins, and as he healed them from their diseases, they were able to join into a fellowship with him and traveled with him. They ate with him. They shared their lives with him. And God was literally with them in a physical way. I imagine that if you've given much thought at all to the whole story of the gospel, you've thought of how wonderful it must have been to be a disciple, to be in the presence of Jesus, to hear his voice with your own ears, to see his miracles firsthand, and to learn from him. And in fact, I still fantasize about that relationship. To be a disciple, wouldn't that be something, to have God walking and talking with us like that? And yet Jesus, who gave all this to his disciples and to the people of Israel in the first century, Jesus also promises even better for those who believe in his name. He promised that when he went to the cross and then ascended to his Father after the resurrection, that he would send the Holy Spirit. And to the disciples' confusion, he said it would be even better that he goes from them because the new counselor, the Holy Spirit, would be with them. This is what Jesus promised in the Gospel of John, saying, "If you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live." In this promise, Jesus is saying that the believer doesn't only have the joy and hope of knowing that Jesus has been risen from the dead and is still living somewhere at the Father's right hand. We have that joy and that hope, but we also have the experience of the Holy Spirit making God's presence manifest in us. Many people can testify to how God's Spirit has blessed them in their lives. Sometimes they've just had a sense of reassurance when they were going through difficult times. Other times they speak of the peace which Scripture describes as the peace which passes understanding, that guards their hearts and their minds. At other times they have felt a strong urging from the Holy Spirit. Many ministers, like myself, describe a calling from God into the service of God in pastoral ministry. Others have felt God leading them into missionary work throughout the world. Others have been moved by the Scriptures as they read them to put into practice what God has given them in a particular way, such as reaching out to a lonely person or making a call to someone because the Spirit has kind of nudged them just to give some encouragement where they can. See, God is with us. God is part of our lives. And as the Scriptures reveal God to us, the Holy Spirit enlivens that revelation to us so that we're not merely following rules. We're walking with Jesus. God is with us. God is with us. The Apostle Paul writes to the church in Rome and tells them what is true of the benefits of that relationship with Jesus. For he quotes Isaiah, saying, "The root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise to rule over the nations, and the Gentiles will hope in him." And he goes on to bless the Roman church. "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Paul was saying that the Christian walk is not just a matter of obeying the commands of God, but of receiving from God joy and peace and overflowing with hope because the Holy Spirit is working in our lives. There is much to treasure and to rejoice in the blessings of God with us. And we're going to take a look at that further and how we can have God's presence in a more tangible way as we go forward in our Christian life. But first, we're going to just sing a song that I hope fills you with joy as it fills me with joy, a very traditional Christmas carol sung by the Manitoba University Choir from the album A Noteworthy Christmas. And this is the hymn, "Joy to the World, the Lord Has Come."
Thank you.
The gospel begins with the actual physical incarnation of God, that God came to earth and shared in our human form. He was human in every respect, though fully God. He was like us, someone who journeyed through gestation in Mary's womb, who endured being a baby, an infant, growing up to be a toddler, learning to talk and walk and learning the scriptures just as we did. For we see in the early part of the Gospels that Jesus was an avid student of the Bible, that he read the scriptures and he knew them so well. One might say that he had an advantage because his relationship with his Father was unbroken, and he knew enough to turn to his Father for insight and for guidance and to do the things that God instructed him to do through the Word. He did meditate upon the Word of God day and night. He studied God's Word. He remembered it. He repeated it to himself. The practices of the Old Testament in understanding that God has given a precious gift in telling us about his deeds and his faithfulness and his character, that this Jesus treasured, for he was delighting to be in his Father's presence. When he was taken to his to Jerusalem as a 12-year-old, probably for his bar mitzvah, he was lost for a while from the party that brought him, because he spent his time, as he described it, in his Father's house. Jesus delighted to be in the presence of God. And I would say that one of the things that we need to cultivate in ourselves, if we want to experience God's presence with us, is we ought to cultivate and ask the Holy Spirit to inspire in us a greater love for the presence of God ourselves, that we would seek him. I'm always inspired and interested in the way that the relationship between God and his church is described in a curious book in the Old Testament called the Song of Solomon, or the Song of Songs. And it describes how a king and his beloved are searching for each other in the castle or in the palace yard. There's searching through the orchard and the vineyard. They're searching through the building. There's this hide and seek going on between the king and his beloved. And in our relationship with God, there is something gained even in those times when we're searching, when we don't feel the presence of God, when our desire and delight in God is tantalizingly close, but we are required to go and seek and to find. There's something that God enjoys in that relationship where we draw near to one another, where we come from a distance and we come close. But very often we get discouraged in seeking the presence of God. Very often we can get to a place where we feel like God is far away. What do we do then? Scripture tells us to be filled with hope. Scripture tells us to rely on the promises of God, that we don't rely on our feelings all the time. In fact, we rely on our feelings very rarely. We can rejoice in the feelings when they come, but God tells us to live by faith, to keep pursuing him, and to recognize that he is with us even when he feels far away. We can be encouraged to know that the Holy Spirit has been given to his people as a gift, and that we don't need to worry that God has gone away from us. For when we confess our sins, Scripture says, he is faithful and just and will forgive us of all our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. We don't need to fear that God has become distant. God is close. It's far more likely that we're the ones who are distant. And so I encourage you to seek God even when he seems far away, because his gift to you is that he is with you, not just in theory, but in reality, not just in the words of Scripture, but also in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so as we enjoy the Christmas season and look at the gift of Christ the Son, physically present with the people in the day of his birth, we can remember that he is also with us, truly with us today, and take great hope in that. But this is a message for Christian believers to pursue God with all your hearts and to recognize that there is more that God can give to you. But this is also a message for those who have not yet put their trust in Jesus, to go ahead and take hold of God's promise, to receive Jesus as the Savior from your sins, and to invite him to be present with you, to be God with you today. For he really can come and make his home with you, to cleanse you of your sin, and to lead you into life everlasting. Let's turn to God in prayer. Almighty God, we give you thanks that because you live, we also live. And we do not live alone. We live in your presence, because you have made a way to cleanse us of all sin so that we can be a temple for the Almighty God. To you, we give thanks and praise today and forevermore. Help us to seek you always, and by your grace to always find you. Through Jesus Christ, our heavenly Lord. Amen. Thank you for listening today, and I do hope that you have an opportunity to respond. If you received our Christmas mailing, to respond and to support us with your prayers and your financial donations as the year comes to a close. And as we close this broadcast, I do invite you to listen with me to our final song, a beautiful piece of music by Sarah Groves called A Cradle in Bethlehem.
Thank you for tuning in. If you have been blessed and encouraged, do tell your friends about this program. Feel free to send in questions and comments via the website. And be sure to share your good news if you have come to faith through listening. But the program on its own is not enough. Don't forget to join other Christians in worship in a church where the gospel is soundly proclaimed and where it is lived out with compassion, integrity, and resolve. We so appreciate the donations, which we depend on to keep us on the air week by week. We invite individuals, companies to donate any amount, anytime, or to sponsor our programs on an annual basis. Please donate via our website or make a check out to Good News Christian Ministries and send it to 96 Pheasant Run Drive, Ottawa, Ontario, K2J2R5, Canada. Be part of the movement that is affecting lives worldwide. May you come to know Jesus Christ personally and profoundly. May the Holy Spirit reside deeply within your heart, and may you feel our Heavenly Father surrounding you with His constant, abiding, accompanying love.
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580 CFRA.